Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and everything church-related podcast. We're doing a simulcast event here. And today on the line, I have Bill and Bill Snyder. I lost my place with your name there. Bill Snyder with Patchwork Heart Radio. Bill, welcome to the program. Praise God for you.
Hey, Bob, thank you so much for having me on today. It's a great pleasure to be on your podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you, and I consider it an extreme privilege just to be able to ask you some questions today. But, you know, let me get a little background, and then you fill in the blanks. Your ministry, Patchwork Heart Ministry, I believe it is, started in 2012. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It started in April of 2012.
Amen.
Jesus asked me to start it.
Amen. And the name came because of some heart problems that you had along the way, and the Lord put this in your heart to be able to help the youth ministry for those that are Catholic. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Tell us a little bit about your ministry and how you got started and what you're doing now and all of that.
Sure. So, as you kind of already highlighted, in 2012, I was moved to begin this ministry. I was actually at a conference listening to another person talk, I think Wisconsin Catholic Youth Rally out here in Wisconsin where my ministry is based, and listening to a young lady talk about her ministry, and God kind of said, you know, I want you to start a ministry. I want you to go out and speak to youth and use your media skills to impact youth and young adults in the Catholic Church and all Christians, really. And so I'm like, all right, God, if you really want me to do this, I need you to give me a name for it. And so here I am at this conference, you know, just praying that this name be revealed. And I'm on the car ride home. I'm praying the rosary with the students. And the Holy Spirit has one of those Holy Spirit 2x4 moments that I like to call it. He takes a 2x4 and whacks you across the face with the name of the ministry. He goes, here's the name, Patchwork Heart Ministry. So a few days later, after, you know, just praying and continuing to look at the Holy Spirit working in my life, I reserved the website patchworkheart.org and had really no clue where it was going, but started my own little podcast and started doing some blogging for thepapist.org.
Amen.
That's how it got started.
Amen. It's a wonderful feeling when the name that He gives you, and you go and check it out on the, you know, on for reserving the domain name, and there it is. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly right.
I've had a couple instances where, like, I think I'll do something and call it this, and you get in there, and there's like 20 other closely related names, and the name you wanted isn't available on a .com, .org. It's, you know, like .xyz or something. They'll give you that one, but it's the same as all the others. And, you know, I'm not going to do that. But when you can reserve the name God gave you, you know it came from Him then. Amen.
Yes, it did, for sure.
Amen. So what kind of activities do you do with the youth ministries?
Well, you know, I like to speak to a lot of youth. I've spoken you know, a few places here and there, but I really like to tell my story. I've been through 3 open heart surgeries in my life. That is something where the heart is completely stopped, dead stopped on the table for, you know, about 55 minutes each time. And my last one was in 2013, believe it or not. So I like to tell that story. In fact, I just had an opportunity. I was on retreat with about 55 kids this past weekend.
Amen.
And had the opportunity to share that story and also wrap in all the other aspects of the gospel and how Jesus works in their lives and through his life because it's He who gave me life and He who gave me the story that I have to tell.
Amen. Now, one of the things you do is you foster discipleship in what you call the culture of death. Explain that.
Well, you know, Pope John Paul II called this culture that we live in the culture of death. Mm. And we see it very, very prevalently today. There's countless numbers of abortions that happen in this world. We're fighting against we're fighting for the dignity of marriage as well. So there is a culture of death that is out there in this world that we must fight against, and the only way that we can do that is to foster this personal relationship, this discipleship with Jesus Christ. If we can build and help others come to know that God is alive and God is real and God is going to be active in your life because He is real, because He is powerful, the very God that created you wants to dwell within you, then I think we begin building that mm-hmm. culture of life.
Amen. No, I didn't mean to cut you off.
We build that culture of life in this society, in this world, and what that does is as Pope Emeritus Benedict says, he says, you know, the church may be getting smaller, but it is becoming a beacon of light.
Yes.
That a very bright beacon of light, and so, you know, if we can continue to shine the truth of Jesus Christ, regardless of the size of the church, I know that it is truly a one soul at a time approach. Mm-hmm. You know, it's truly a one soul at a time approach,
You talk about a beacon of light. When I was in the military, one of the things that we would do, I seen this when I was in basic training, and then as a drill sergeant, I was able to participate in it. We'll send one drill sergeant out into the desert. I was out of Fort Bliss, Texas. And he would go out maybe a quarter of a mile and just sit there. And we, you know, at the time we didn't have cell phones. That wasn't available. So he'd have a radio. And as they're discussing about light discipline and things like that for the trainees, we say, now, we want you to look out in the desert and just watch. And we call the guy on the radio, and he'd light a cigarette. And that light looked like a floodlight shining on him out there momentarily. And then you'd see the red ember, and we're a quarter mile away. You could see him smoking the cigarette, you know, from a quarter mile away. And it said, that's the importance of light. This way, if you were an enemy, you'd see, oh, there's the guy. And you'd aim right at that ember, you know, on the cigarette, knowing it's a headshot. And it said, that's why you have to have light discipline. But my point is, during the daylight, you know, he'd be sitting next to a bush and you wouldn't even see him. But as it grew darker and darker, suddenly that little ember became brighter and brighter. So in the world, as it gets darker around us, our light shines in the darkness. And all the attention comes to us. I mean, if you were in a closed-in movie theater and they blocked off all the light sources and one little lightning bug was flying around that theater, every eye in that theater would be on the lightning bug because they could see nothing else.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
As the world grows darker, everything we do for God and to help bring people to Christ, that little light will draw people's attention to it, even in the darkest environment. So I just want to encourage our listeners with that. Praise God. One of the things we want to talk about was overcoming obstacles. Now, we know about the heart issues and all that. What other obstacles have you had to overcome in forming your ministry?
Well, in forming my ministry and in everyday life, let me just tell you that, you know, God does not arrange everything perfectly in our lives, I think, for many reasons. His love is perfect, but he doesn't always arrange everything perfectly in our lives. And as a result of my heart surgery, I had a stroke as an infant as well. So I battled with physical disability in my life quite a bit. Everything from learning how to type on a keyboard all the way up through. Learning to drive a car and swimming and everything else. So overcoming obstacles is one of those things that, you know, God kind of puts in my heart. You know, that Mandisa song is a song that I often use, Overcomer, because you have to overcome when I talk to kids, because you have to overcome obstacles often.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, the world is not going to, you know, be a pretty place.
That's right.
And I think if you keep fighting, you know, the biggest thing is to keep fighting and to fight on the side that you know is already won the victory. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ through his blood on the cross has already won the victory, his death and sacrifice. So if you think about that, if you look at that as a model, you can overcome any obstacle. You know, he says it, I've overcome the world. He said, you know, take heart, I've overcome the world, you know, in the Gospel of John. So, you know, praise God for that. And you have to keep fighting on the right side that you know is already going to be won.
Amen. Now, with your youth ministry, is there a particular segment of the youth that you minister to, like, you know, young men or, you know, those who've been abused or anything like that? Or is it just the general all, you know, age group of the youth?
I think it's a general age group that I typically work with. But certainly I think, I'll tell you a quick story. I was on a retreat that I actually really didn't want to be on. you get pulled into ministry experiences sometimes that you don't want to be on. And my heart condition is called tetralogy of Fallot. It's kind of a very rare heart condition. And so I'm on this retreat, and I start giving my talk, and I'm, you know, talking to a couple of the kids afterward, and I'm not kidding you that there were two other kids, not one, but two other kids with the exact same heart condition I had on that retreat. So God put me in that position, to be there. And I think as my tagline says, I sow hope into broken hearts.
Yeah.
And I think that's the group that most identifies with what I'm talking about. But at the same time, you know, all people, you know, the gospel is relevant to everybody.
Yeah.
So certainly, you know, I wouldn't hold back from talking or teaching to anybody or even to any age group, to be honest. But, you know, families and whatnot, I've spoken to a few of those as well, or, you know, father, sons, as well. But you know, I think those people out there that are maybe struggling with an aspect of their faith or struggling with a, you know, disability or, you know, a health issue, certainly identify a lot with my talk.
Amen. Amen. Well, you also have your own podcast, correct?
I do, yeah. I spent some time in radio as well, working for Catholic Radio, but I also have my own podcast, and that is Patchwork Heart Radio. You can just Google it. We're a Podbean site, Patchwork Heart Radio. It's also on my website, patchworkheart.org. You can check it out, patchworkheart.org.
Amen. Now, that's where the podcast is hosted at? That's where people go to listen to the podcast?
Yep. There's a link right on the website there. Or you can go to, you know, the longer website is like patchworkheart.podbean.com. But, you know, it's a lot easier just to go to the website and click on, you know, listen live or whatever.
That's patchworkheart.org.
Patchworkheart.org. You got it.
Amen. All right. Well, brother, are you ready for the lightning round?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right. The format is, you know, I'll just grab some questions that have been supplied to us, not particularly to interviewing you, but general overall. And we'll just take these last 10, 15 minutes or so. And I want you to give the answer, and you can explain it as much detail as you want. You know, I'd say keep it under about 2 minutes because it is a lightning round, and we can continue on to the next question. Sound good?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
All right. How do you respond when someone says, if God is good, why does he allow bad things to happen?
Well, that's right up my alley, you know. bad things have happened to me often. You know, I've had, strokes, multiple open heart surgeries. Bad things happen to me often. And, you know, to respond to that is that God is going to give you things in your life that push you to be a better person. I mean, that I think is the best answer I can give you. God is going to give you challenges in your life to push you to be holier. It's almost like that refiner's fire. You know, God is going to test gold and fire. He doesn't do it to be a vindictive God by any stretch of the imagination. He does it because he wants you to be a more pure vessel of his grace. And so he doesn't give you anything that he knows that is going to be too difficult for you with his help. You know, I heard a great line from somebody at this past retreat weekend that I was just on, and he said, you know, God is going to give you stuff that you can't handle on by yourself, that you're going to need to rely on him to help you with. And if we rely on God in those difficult circumstances, when you're down for the count, God will step into the breach. He will step into that breach. He will give you the strength and the courage. I mean, just like St. Paul says, you know, in his letter, where he just talks about, my weakness is my strength. Mm-hmm. And in those moments when the weakness is the strength, we know that God steps in. He provides us this humble, this not big flashy show like Satan will. I mean, Satan loves to talk, you know, have this big flashy show. God doesn't have that big flashy show. It doesn't mean that miracles don't happen, but he does it in a way that might be a little more quieter. So yeah, when bad things happen to good people, it's those moments that God gives us to grow closer to him and to be more faithful.
Amen. All right, next question. Why are there poor people who believe in God and rich people who do not?
You know, that is a really, really good one as well. And because you know, we like to talk about poverty of spirit a lot. And in this country, I think that one of the biggest goals, and especially in my ministry, you know, I don't seek to go to other countries a whole lot and, you know, do, you know, third world mission work. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that there's such a poverty of spirit in this country. There's such a poverty of theological knowledge and relationship with Jesus in this country that we've got to focus on that. Why is there poor people that believe in God and rich people who don't? I'm not sure I know the answer, but what I'm trying to do is take that and make that less of a gap, for sure. You know, I think that we absolutely need to focus our energies on building discipleship among people that don't believe in this country. And as Jesus does say, rich people, it's very hard for a rich person to get into into heaven. It's very, very difficult that to happen. The eye of the needle, you know, is a tough place to get a camel through. So we've gotta work very much on arranging the possessions of the rich.
All right. Now, next question is, if Jesus paid the price for all sins for all time, past, present, and future, why can't we just live the way we want to if he's already forgiven us?
You know, another excellent question. And you know, as a Catholic, I would say that yes, and actually the Catechism of the Church does say that Jesus paid the price once and for all for sin, past, present, and future. But we have to cooperate with God's grace. You know, while that is final, we can still stray off the path, I mean, we can do that daily. We can stray off the path daily, because we're we're affected by this thing called original sin. Mm-hmm. We're affected by this. We're affected by that. And regardless of, yeah, our baptism does eliminate that original sin, but it weakens us. So we always have to constantly strive to participate, to cooperate with God's grace. And when we fall, we need to ask for forgiveness. And that's a constant thing. We're going to constantly, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. So, including myself. So if we make that statement, that we say that, then we have to back that up by confessing our sins to one another and saying, hey, listen, I really messed this one up. Jesus, can you forgive me? Because we know that you've already forgiven me for it, but just by looking at a crucifix, just by looking at his body on the cross, we know he's forgiven it, but we have to take that action to say, let us cooperate with God's grace.
Amen. You know, I did something one time, and I was feeling absolutely miserable about it, and I took it to the Lord one time in prayer. I said, Lord, forgive me for all this, and I confessed it to him, and he spoke to my heart. He said, Bob, when you confessed that to me is not when I found out about it. I knew about it all the time. That's when you got rid of it.
Exactly. And, for practicing Catholics, the sacrament of reconciliation is where we confess to Jesus Christ, honestly, where we verbalize that. And confess to Jesus Christ. It's not a priest that's sitting there in the confessional. It's Jesus Christ himself, because of the nature of his him being ordained as a priest for Jesus. So when you look at that, you're verbalizing that, and that's almost exactly like what you're saying. When you verbalize that, when you confess that, when you speak that, that's when you get rid of it. Jesus, amen. Jesus forgave you. But when you speak that, it really does help.
Amen. All right, next question. In your opinion, what is the number one demonic force that is in the world today?
Relativism. I think relativism is the number one force that drives people away from the church because away from Jesus Christ. Because, I like to think of it this way. If we start calling the color red green, we've got a big problem. And if you think that just because you want to call the color red green, and it's not going to affect anybody else, well, try driving a car. try driving a car, and that's what relativism is. That's what relativism is.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
So basically, relativism is that. Is that practice of belief where somebody says, I can believe whatever I want in my little bubble, and that's not going to affect anybody else.
Yeah.
And we have to say that there is truth, and that there is a God, and he is real. And if you want to, and if you just can't believe that everything is going to be fine if you believe in your little bubble that right. Jesus said this and so I can do whatever I want. No, it's not that's not how this works. There is an eternal truth, and it is manifested itself in nature. So grace builds upon nature, and when you look at that and you see that, we can help people understand that there is something true, there is something real. I always like to say, you take any object and put it in your hand, and you can say, is my Bible in the room right now? Yeah, it is. Well, then it's not in the room. You know what I mean? Either here or it's not here,
Amen. Well, last question. If you woke up tomorrow morning and realized your entire life was just a dream, but yet you were able to keep all of the experiences and complete memory and knowledge of everything that happened, what would you do, and how would you go about doing it, and why?
That's a really good question. I I think of Pascal's Wager a little bit when I look at that question and I listen to you talk about it. Pascal's mm-hmm. Wager, as you may know, and our listeners may know, is that thing. Well, you know what? If all this was a dream, if all this wasn't real, but I lived to the best of my ability to be a good person and to follow, you know, these tenets that I believe in, I don't know if I'd change a whole lot. You know, I don't know if I'd change a whole lot of what I believe and what I want to do in my life. Because whatever this force was that was driving my life, I think I'd you know, keep those experiences and I'd keep those, and I keep them, and I would continue to live the way that these tenets of the gospel, because it's an honorable thing. It's, you know, I mean, you know, this is an honorable way to live. It's an honorable way to be a Christian. You know, and why mess it up? You know.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that. Now, give us your contact information again. If some of our listeners want to get a hold of you and ask you questions or invite you to come speak or, you know, be on your podcast and all that, let us know how to contact you.
Yeah, so you guys can contact me at info@patchworkheart.org. That's the, you know, info@patchworkheart.org. Or the telephone number that you can call is 424-704-3278, and that spells 424-70-HEART. So you can call that as well. I'm happy to come out and talk with your parish, your you know, church, and you know, youth groups, parents and fathers and sons, whatever floats your boat. I'm happy to come out and do that. I don't just speak to Catholic groups, and I don't just have Catholic guests on my podcast. So if you're looking for you know, some exposure as well, I would love to have you on, Pastor Bob, to talk talk with me about your ministry on my podcast as well, because this has been a blast and a lot of fun. But if you're looking for that and you're listening to this, that would be great to reach out and give me a call or contact me. And of course, check out the website, which we've mentioned a few times, patchworkheart.org. I'm on Twitter too. I like to do a lot of tweeting. So that's at PWH Ministry, at PWH Ministry. And of course, I'm on Facebook as well, at Patchwork Heart Ministry.
Amen. Well, Bill, I appreciate your time today. Praise God for your ministry. And we pray that God continues to bless and will abundantly bless you, and that your ministry and your podcast will reach throughout the world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very, very much.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Until next time, for Bill Snyder and Pastor Robert Tavino, I want to tell you to be blessed in all that you do.